I wish to welcome you again to our day three of the session. And today we will start with agenda item 9. It has part 1 and part 2. And I wish to invite Mr. Sumsi to start making the presentation on this agenda item. Mr. Sumsi, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not a pure presentation. I think it's more than a presentation. The partners organization, WHO and FAO, consider that this is a crucial moment for Codex, and that FAO and WHO is also in a crucial period of changes. And you consider that this is an appropriate moment to express to the Codex the views and concerns from the parents' organizations on Codex, on the future of Codex. We jointly prepared this statement, and then this is thus a joint statement of FAO and WHO that we discuss and draft jointly at the senior management level of WHO and FAO. And I will read this joint statement now. I ask you that you interpret this statement as a positive and constructive spirit, and of course respecting the autonomy of the Codex bodies and structure. But we think that it's also our responsibility and our accountability to express clearer our views and concerns. FAO and WHO continues to attach great importance to the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Codex standards represent important normative areas of the work of both organizations, important both for health, trade, and economic development. Codex is presently going through a period of change reflecting the changing global environment in trade and health. Codex receives support from its parental organizations and from the member states in this process. Notably, the budget of Codex has increased in US dollars terms over the last 6 years, both because of constraints relative to the value of the dollar, but also because of an increase in speed and activity level of Codex. However, we should also realize that member states in FAO and WHO governing bodies continue to express their wish for improvements in the way the two organizations are operating, including in Codex. FAO and WHO would hope that the Executive Committee is able to take up these concerns and direct the needed change. The suggestions from governing bodies do not represent an attempt to infringe upon the mandate of Codex, but should be considered as a positive strategic guidance. It is clear that the governing bodies of FAO and WHO must look at the work of any program funded from their budgets and critically and continuously evaluate any need for change. To mention some of the areas specifically raised in FAO-WHO senior management consultations and in the governing bodies of FAO and WHO over the latest years are the following. More speed in the development and adoption of Codex text. Fewer committees. The large number of committees makes it difficult for developing countries to attend all relevant meetings. Suggestions to have meetings back-to-back to decrease travel and other costs should also be considered. improve efficiency, do more with less, through additional effort in the use of electronic mailing, less paper, and wherever possible, limited translation and interpretation costs. More emphasis to health-related issues to enhance consumer protection and thereby promote safer trade. Support for global diet and physical activity strategy, including work on nutrition and foods for special dietary uses, as well as labeling. Shorter reports. FAO and WHO governing bodies have established maximum length for the reports of their meetings, not only to save on translation costs, but also to reduce time used for the adoption of the report. Similar efforts should be made within Codex. New meeting forms. While it is obvious that face-to-face meetings are the preferred way of conducting intergovernmental meetings, efforts should be made on a trial basis to use other alternative ways of achieving the same objective, including electronic fora, video conference, etc. Establishment of a duration for the terms for hosting Codex committees, similar to what is being in practice for Codex task force. And last, better and clearer rules to help the chairs manage Codex meetings, including a definition of consensus. We are aware of the fact that Codex has made great progresses towards change over the last years, particularly since the joint evaluation of 2002. We are concerned, though, that the inertia of keeping things at the status quo is sometimes creeping in, also in Codex deliberations. We have seen with concern reluctance to change the status quo relative to some of the areas mentioned above. We hope it will be possible to return to our governing bodies with a positive message of change in our future discussions about Codex budget in this fora. We believe strongly that the Codex Executive Committee is the proper place to have these strategic management discussions, and we urge members of the committee to give this matter the fullest consideration and to take courageous decisions, enabling a continuous improvement of the Codex processes. We still consider the Codex Alimentarius Commission one of the most successful interagency programs in the United Nations family. Let us try to keep in that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sumsi, for that joint statement from FAO and WHO. And I need to be guided from the committee whether we should have some few comments on this paper or whether we welcome the document and find a little opportunity to look at it critically. Can I invite some few comments from the floor on the statement as presented by both FAO and WHO? Coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Muy buenos días a todos. En relación a esta declaración conjunta que se acaba de hacer, pues viendo su interesante contenido, no puedo menos que agradecerla, porque me parece que esta orientación que nos dan las organizaciones madre puede ser muy útil en el proceso de mejora que ha emprendido el Codex. Entonces, lo primero que quisiera es darle la bienvenida a esta guía. Y lo siguiente que quisiera hacer es proponer que en realidad no es un asunto nada más como para tomar nota. Me parece que el profundo contenido que abarca cuestiones de suma relevancia, amerita pues un análisis detenido por parte de este comité ejecutivo y en el mejor de los casos también una respuesta hacia las organizaciones madre que se han tomado el trabajo en darnos estos puntos para que los analicemos. Entonces mi sugerencia sería no solamente notar esta declaración, sino por el contrario, reaccionar a ella. Esto es incorporarlo a nuestra agenda y tener una discusión detallada de cada uno de estos puntos e incluso poder informar del regreso a las organizaciones madre la forma en que creemos que se pueden abordar en su oportunidad y las conclusiones a las que podamos llegar en la discusión de cada aspecto puntual. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Cornetta, for Latin American, Latin American Caribbean. Can I go to New Zealand, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have listened very carefully to the statement by Mr. Simpson. We fully endorse and welcome the very clear statement of the parent body expectations with regard to Codex. Indeed, many of the points, specific points that Dr. Sumpsi has raised have in fact been the focus of recent Codex deliberations. And I have listened carefully to the specific points that he indicated in his statement, and there is not one single item on which we could disagree with in terms of the directions in which Codex should be moving. So at this stage, we would certainly welcome this very positive and clear and unequivocal statement from the parent bodies of what they expect in terms of change and future directions, and we look forward to continuing to support the efforts within Codex in this area. The only comment I would perhaps make is that it would be useful, given the significance of this statement, perhaps for the parent bodies to circulate a copy of the statement for the record. Thank you.
Okay, yes. Thank you, New Zealand. Coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We too welcome the very clear statement which has been issued by on behalf of the FAO and WHO. And indeed, as the delegation from New Zealand has just said, most of the points which were which are contained in the statement are really at the centre of the activities of Codex and the reflection which was triggered off after the evaluation of the Codex. If I look at the first point, which was increasing the speed of the elaboration of standards, this is really something which is at the core of our work, and we are trying. At least the Executive Committee, with its critical review of the standard elaboration process, took up this the recommendation of increasing, of trying to increase the efficiency of Codex. And, well, we agree with all the points which have been stated, and it would be worth studying them closely and seeking ways of doing our work even better than what we're doing now, and in order to give full justice to those recommendations. So we also welcome the distribution of the document, and we fully endorse what has been said. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe, and I have Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina comparte lo expresado por los representantes que me precedieron en la palabra. Consideramos altamente satisfactorio que tanto la FAO como la OMS tengan en cuenta estas cuestiones que hacen a la dinámica de trabajo del Códex y a las preocupaciones que muchos de los miembros han manifestado en el curso de estos años. No obstante, deseamos señalar que dentro de estas recomendaciones hay cuestiones que son de índole operativa y otras que requieren de un estudio más profundo, con lo cual no nos vamos a referir a esas, sino a las que tienen que ver con la operatividad del Códex y con básicamente con el trabajo del secretariado y ciertas decisiones que deben tomarse en relación con las reuniones. En relación con eso hay dos puntos que nos preocupan. Uno es que en el mejor de los casos, en promedio deben participar por reunión unos 50 países, no más que eso. Con lo cual, la brevedad de los informes afecta fundamentalmente a los países que no tienen oportunidad de participar para poder seguir las discusiones en el Códex. En esto quisiéramos llamar la atención respecto del tipo de informes que hacen el Comité sobre la aplicación de medidas sanitarias y fitosanitarias de la OMC y el Comité del Acuerdo sobre Obstáculos Técnicos al Comercio. Porque realmente son informes que cuando uno los lee tiene prácticamente la certeza de que ha intervenido en la discusión. En el caso del Códex, en muchos temas en particular, es posible seguir la profundidad de las discusiones por lo breves que son estos informes. Y para los países en desarrollo es fundamental conocer el fondo de la discusión, entender el fondo de la discusión, porque hay temas que son absolutamente complejos. Con lo cual, si hay un tema que nos preocuparía sobremanera es que reducir costos implique que solo entiendan la dinámica y el fondo de las discusiones quienes han tenido oportunidad de participar de las reuniones.
Argentina, please, we have that and other business as a point of discussion. Maybe we could erase that that agenda item and let's just have a general comment on the statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a very timely intervention by the parent organizations. And normally when parents call the children together, they've been observing you from a distance on your activities and the way you progress. And when they intervene and give you advice, you take it with, I'll say, you appreciate that they are still concerned about your welfare. I would like to add my voice to the appreciation of this meeting to the report given by FAO and WHO on this matter. I think the issues raised are very pertinent. Even if they were not raised by the parent organizations, it would have been very important for us as we move along to review the internal processes and mechanisms that make us efficient in the delivery of our outputs. And therefore, I think this offers us an opportunity to continue with the evaluation to improve the internal performance of Codex. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa and Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. We thank the WHO and the FAO for producing this important document. And with this document, this will be a good reference for the discussion even in this morning. So I endorse this document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Japan. And United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I share the general welcome for the words from our parents. Just a small question is why such an important statement wasn't made at the start of the meeting, when we could have firmly in mind as we were addressing the various items that we were looking at, including progress of standards. These are very pertinent points, and I think we need to consider how to roll out to the rest of the organisation and how to ensure that the what the parent organizations want are actually delivered. Words are fine, actions are much better. Examples of this could be to make absolutely clear the statement and the trend at the next commission meeting. Obviously, to raise at the next meeting of chairs of committees. And we would suggest, depending on the chairs of the meetings, that regional coordination committees could also discuss the issues and what they could do themselves to further the aims of this statement. It means not just the executive committee and chairs to be acting on these recommendations, but all the members of Codex. But just to record that we welcome this, but it does mean that we need to make sure that everybody is acting on these recommendations so that we can be a streamlined organisation. Thank you.
Thank you, UK, and I see the flag of WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sometimes when FAO and WHO are at meetings like this, we have this good cop, bad cop situation. So Mr. Sumsi was the good cop, and now I will have to play the bad cop. Because it's nice to hear everybody agree to these things. But as the representative from United Kingdom just say, this means really nothing unless we see action. When we talk about shorter reports, there will always be interventions from some countries saying, but we need to have a clear understanding of everything. I'd like to make it very clear that we do not believe in WHO that longer statements are clearer than shorter statements. We think that short statements are clearer. We think that negotiations are a lot better when we have short statements also in the reports. Even complicated discussions can be put down in short statements. We know that. When we say fewer committees, we have a number of countries saying that this is politically problematic because this country has had this committee for so long and we will continue to do this or that and that. If we continue to have these kinds of problems, we will not change. And we strongly believe that if we don't change, something bad will happen. I mean, because it's the same member states that are sitting here, are sitting in our governing bodies and expressing these issues. It's you. When we say more focus on health issues, some countries continue to push for more commodity standards. We strongly believe that the strength of Codex is in providing science-based standards in relation to risk and preventing disease from food. This is clearly the key issue in relation to Codex, and if we continue along the old trail, we will not see change. So I think the good thing that we have seen here in the executive committee is that the executive committee is changing and is now taking upon itself more responsibility in this area. So we would like to see the executive committee continue along that road. Some years ago, executive committee discussions were actually not very productive in that sense, but they are getting there now, and we would like to support that positive development a lot. But as was stated before, we also need to see action. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO. And Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Bonjour tout le monde. Je ne serai pas très long parce que mes collègues ont dit l'essentiel. Je me permets aussi de féliciter la déclaration conjointe de nos deux organisations mères et constater le fait que, à mon avis, d'ailleurs, la mise en œuvre de ces orientations nous permettrait d'atteindre l'essentiel de nos objectifs qu'on a, que nous sommes fixés, et notamment pouvoir avoir plus de résultats avec moins de ressources, surtout nous sommes dans une période où ces organisations ont des difficultés financières importantes. Donc je pense que ce serait une opportunité d'encourager que nous puissions mettre en œuvre autant que possible toutes ces déclarations pour nous permettre d'avancer plus loin. Merci.
thank you, Mary, and can I also take the liberty to give the floor to the secretary, please? Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me start with a procedural question. There was a request to make this statement widely available and known to members who are not attending this session. So if the committee so agrees, we can give a CRD number to this statement, the transcription of the statement, CRD 8. And as it has become the standing practice, this CRD will be part of the package of zipped CRDs that will be circulated through Codex List next week. And this way, we could ensure that this statement is shared by the whole Codex membership. Secondly, there is a question on how best the committee could follow up on the some of the concrete suggestions, if I may say so, included in the statement. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bullet points that point to certain directions or concrete suggestions to be considered within the Codex Forum. Some points made are rather of the nature to encourage the Commission to pursue the efforts already undertaken. For instance, the reduction of paper, shorter meetings, and for instance, the issue of fewer committees is being discussed. And yesterday we agreed for the process of how to take a further step on merging or dissolving committees, and we have already agreed on the steps to take. The issue of giving due regard to the global strategy on diet, physical activity, and health, the Codex has been working on this topic since 2-3 years, and we defined the track of work to follow up, and CCFL and CCNFSDU have been working on this theme. The issue of shorter reports will be discussed again under other business. In relation to meeting forms, some of the suggestion, especially regarding the experimental use of virtual meeting, had been raised in the context of the joint Codex evaluation in 2002, and was discussed to a certain extent in some committees. At that time, there was not, overwhelming support for this in view of certain difficulties, while one or two members stated that this option should be pursued. Therefore, this means reviewing the position the Commission has taken on that point in the context of 2002 Codex review. Clearly, there is one new proposal, which is the last but one bullet point regarding the possibility to put a limit to the number of terms for serving as a Codex host government. And of course, we have just seen this proposal, so maybe even within FAO and WHO, we need some studies from legal and other perspectives. And finally, the question regarding How to define or interpret consensus was already discussed by the present session, the committee, and it will be discussed in the Committee on General Principles in 2009. So, Mr. Chairman, for many points, the Codex has already identified the timelines or track or modalities for further work. This being said, Mr. Chairman, we could note in the report of this meeting so that the committee could come back to this point under the same agenda item at this next session to clearly see for what items we need to identify new work tracks, and including the extent to which we should involve the regional coordinating committees in the further discussion. In any way, the next cycle of the coordinating committees will start only after the next session of the executive committee and the commission, and it would not be too late to wait until the 61st session of the executive committee to identify any action that could be warranted by the regional coordinating committee. So these are some clarification and suggestions from the Secretariat. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification and suggestions. And I'm sure as a committee, we wholly support the suggestion from the Secretariat, but we need to welcome this statement from this joint statement by FAO and WHO, although from the management, but literally conveys the feelings of the governing bodies of both WHO and FAO to this executive committee. And we also note with great interest the importance both FAO and WHO member countries continue to put on the wake of Codex. And indeed, most of the concerns raised by these governing bodies have indeed been concerns already seen within the Codex process, as it has been explained. A lot of the points raised are, in fact, points on our agenda items, and we have had the evaluation, we have had the review, the study on the review of the Codex structures, which really answers quite a lot of what has been asked. And also on our current session agenda items, we have the discussion on some of the items like consensus. We have the other two items coming after this agenda item, especially under the item of other businesses. We shall also discuss some of the issues like shorter reports, although we'll be talking of commission and other reports. We would also discuss a paper on the hosting of committees. So these are really issues very much within the executive committee thinking and, in fact, within the commission as a whole. And, of course, we also take with great interest, again, the recognition by our governing bodies of the important role this executive committee can play in really managing the Codex process. And indeed, we can agree to see how we can best act on the directions given in this document. And as I said, is that in addition to the suggestion given by the Secretary, in the sense that this paper will be available, and we can also come back to it in our next Executive Committee meeting. That will be a fair summary of this statement, and Somsi, you want to come back, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this perfect summary on the spirit of this statement. Just I would like to add that we know that, as the Secretary said, a lot of these concerns are also concerns for Codex and for this committee. We know that. And we also are aware of so difficult sometimes to change rules of 30 years or more. We know that. You know the problem of inertia, the resistance,
and the strongly status quo that in some organizations is difficult in the changes. We're aware of that. But you have to interpret our statement as a strong support for colleagues and specifically for this executive committee. We would like to see that this committee take the leadership of the process of change of colleagues and take Valentin of this task, really important task, to lead this organization colleagues to improvements in the future. Then please take us as a strong support for this executive committee and our will and our wishes that this executive committee could really be the engine of the changes of colleagues organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sumsi. And last statement from Vice Chair Wim, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I very much appreciate this joint statement and particularly also the positive spirit as reflected by Mr. Sumsi. I see it as an attempt for Codex to expedite and focus its work in order to remain relevant in a rapidly changing world, and also as a challenge for this committee to strengthen its management function. Chairman, I support your summary of the debate, but just was wondering whether it might be useful to ask the Codex Secretariat to prepare for our next session a short paper summarizing it, because many of these issues are already on our plate and are already under discussion. But let's say just to speed up the discussion, to facilitate the discussion in our next meeting, to get maybe a document to be prepared by the Codex Secretariat and the parent organizations and the assistance of the officers of the Bureau, maybe we're ready to with the attempt to make it a little bit more action-oriented. Because, yes, since many of these issues already were under discussion since the Codex evaluation, we have implemented many issues, so basically also the procedure manual is fit, it provides the room to make change. It is included in our strategic plan, but I guess there's a need to go another mile, and so therefore maybe for your consideration, Mr. Chairman, that we should have a document summarizing it, but also already start a discussion how to make it more action-oriented on the many issues we have already on our plate. This is what I have to offer on top of you have summarized, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim, and I think that puts in a better perspective the statement or the suggestion from the Secretariat, and of course in my summary I did say in support in addition to what the Secretariat suggested, and indeed that would be our best way forward, to have a document prepared by the Secretary. You brought in the other dimension of the members of the Bureau to assist in finalizing that document. Maybe that is an idea that we can throw to the rest of the committee members. Secretary, would you have some comments on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, it would facilitate the follow-up discussion if we have some concrete document to work on. So basically, these are management guidance from the parent bodies. So it would be for FAO and WHO rather than the Codex Secretariat to prepare a revised paper. But we would be happy to work with FAO and WHO to analyze and take up again the points made and add some more in-depth analysis to certain suggestions made and make it available to the next session of the Executive Committee. It will be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And listening to my left, I could hear some mamas saying yes, so I think there is a support for the parent organizations to work with the Codex Secretariat to come up with a paper that we can look at in our next Executive Committee meeting. And ladies and gentlemen, that effectively brings us to end of our discussion on this statement, joint statement from the parent organizations. Can we go to our agenda item 9 now? And we start with part 1. And I think, Jorgen, you are going to present part 1, please. Thank you.
Just very briefly, the GIFSA means the Global Initiative for Food-Related Scientific Advice. This is a structure, a facility that FAO and WHO has set up, mainly for three reasons. It's to have one place, or actually two places, one in WHO and one in FAO, where we try to get funds for scientific advice. There's a major problem that we are being asked for scientific advice from many committees in Codex, and we continuously do not have enough funds. We also know, second reason is that we know that we are being asked to do new things in relation to scientific advice. Clear example is an expert body in relation to nutrition. All this will also need funds. So again, we would try to use this new initiative to attract such funds. Thirdly, we wanted to set up a mechanism so that we would be able to take in funds from foundations. We have clear rules in WHO and FAO about which types of organisms that are not directly member states that we can accept money from. And it is clear that we can accept money from foundations that are at arm's length from food industry. But we never had a mechanism where we could actually accept that. We do know that some foundations are interested in supporting the provision of scientific advice that is needed for Codex and for member states. So this is the main reasoning for setting up the GIFSA. I think the part 2, the use of scientific advice by Codex, is a different issue. So this was just to mention the three main reasons for setting up the GIFSA. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, and I see the flag of FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, to say that in FAO, the Nutrition and Consumer Protection Division, but also other divisions involved in the provision of scientific advice, including our plant production and protection division, which hosts the GMPR, are working together now to issue a request formally from our division that deals with that is in contact with donors and membership to request support from the donor community to this important initiative. I think we hope that the donors would be generous to them and in their response to this request, because we definitely need their support to continue to serve Codex and member countries with the provision of scientific advice in a timely manner. And as consistent and also as repetitive as it may be, because we do have a long list of requests from the Codex system as well as from member countries for the provision of scientific advice, and unfortunately our regular program funds are becoming less and less in terms of real dollar value, and therefore we need to get support from outside to enable us to serve you better. So we hope that the donor community will be generous in their support to this new initiative. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that further information. And can I invite some comments from the floor, please? Coordinator for Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do support this any farm from the industry. I can mention by representative from WHO. But the important thing is that the impartiality of the result of the is very important. So we should make some guarantee that the impartiality is there. But we do support as any partner from the industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Cornetta, for Asia. I see New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Very briefly, we also welcome and support this initiative. I think it's very timely that this has been tabled. I think for a simple reason that the demands within the Codex system for scientific advice is going to increase, if anything. And Dr. Schlund has already mentioned that in relation to the expectations in the area of nutrition. But the key and the most significant point in our view is the new opportunity for seeking out funding outside the traditional sources. I think this is going to be absolutely critical to ensuring that scientific advice is available on a timely basis. We heard this morning about the expectations of the parent bodies for more expeditious development of international standards. The quid pro quo to that is also an important, strengthening of the capacity to provide scientific advice that's underpinning the many of the standards development work. So in short, we support and welcome this initiative, and we look forward to further developments. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. And Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is just a small question. I visited the website of GIFSA, and in WHO GIFSSA and FAO GIFSA. So it's an independent website or some? So just a small question.
Thank you, Japan. And anyone wants to repair it? WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just showing that in WHO we're not very good at spelling. You know, the correct one. This is the correct one. We will change that. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I think linking this item with the previous one, I think the more that Codex moves towards health-related issues, the greater still will be the demand on scientific advice. And as my colleague from New Zealand has pointed out, if there are delays in receiving this advice, there will be a longer period in developing standards. So it is a circular argument. On that basis, then, the initiative is to be supported, including the aim to go for impartial extra funding. On a procedural note, the document invites recommending the Commission to urge member countries and observers to contribute to the funding. So perhaps the result of this committee's discussions today could be sounds like general support, and agree that this should be brought to the attention of the Commission in the summer. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, UK, and I think as Executive Committee, we indeed welcome the initiative. We do appreciate the need for getting timely scientific advice, and indeed we know to get timely scientific advice would require adequate, I mean, the parents' organizations will require adequate funding. And much as we will seek funding from the non-traditional sources, we would also emphasize on the need for impartiality. Mm-hmm. And also we welcome the suggestion that we should recommend to the Commission members to contribute generously to this fund. That would be our summary on this agenda item. If there are no further observations, can we go to part two, please? FAO, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good transition to the to part two, and that which concerns the use of the scientific advice that is provided by the expert bodies by our FAO and WHO that serves Codex and member countries in this field. It has been always a pleasure for FAO to see and WHO to see that in almost 95% of circumstances, I would say, the advice that is provided by these expert bodies are considered and well considered by the committees that are that have requested it or that may make use of it. And this, of course, the Codex Committee on Food Additives, Codex Committee on Food Contaminants, the Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues, the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, etc. But it has been some recent experience have shown that some committees have asked for advice, and then later on, when the committees have worked on this advice, and but was that advice was not used. It does create some concern among the members of the committee that what is the reason for that, and what could be consequences if this type of attitude or position continues. But to be more precise, we do have with us our joint secretary of the FAO joint secretary for JECFA, my colleague Annika, yes, Annika Wenberg, if she could explain more precisely what happened, so that perhaps we can take some lessons and also give some views on this on how to proceed further. Annika, please.
Thank you, Dr. Triff. Yes, for those who do not know me, I'm Annika Wenberg, and I'm the FAO JECFA secretary. So JECFA, the Joint Expert Committee on Food Additives, deals with food additives, of course, contaminants, but also residues of veterinary drugs, which is the work of the CCRVDF. The CCRVDF and also member countries have long been working on or having concerns about certain veterinary drugs which do not have any ADIs or MRLs. This issue is partly because the industry was not really supporting the process, but on the other hand, it has been shown that also even after repeated re-evaluations by JECFA on certain veterinary drugs for which JECFA concluded that there was a human health concern, a significant human health concern, no action has been proposed by CCRVDF. So that's in this point 5 of the part 2 of the document that we are discussing today. And at the last meeting of the CCRVDF, which was held in this year in Colorado, there was a discussion on the outcome of a working group that under CCRVDF, which had been discussed for some time, what to do with these substances without ADIs and MRLs. And then I must say that not all of them are, of course, of health concern, because they have simply not been evaluated. But for those which the CCRVDF has requested repeatedly risk assessments by JECFA, for example, on chloramphenicol, and another substance, carbadox, the assessments and the reports of JECFA have not been discussed. Now, at this meeting of CCRVDF, which I'm sure you're going to discuss another time, The report from the working group was extensively discussed, and the recommendations from this working group was taken up. And one of these recommendations was that new work should be undertaken to allow the development of risk management decisions or recommendations by the Codex Alimentarius Commission on these specific substances. They are not many, but there are a few. In addition to that, during the session of CCRVDF, the committee asked FAO and WHO to develop scientific advice on a substance which is toxic. It's known that it is toxic, and it was not clear what would be the outcome, what the use of the committee was going to be for this particular substance if that was taken up by FAO and WHO and a risk assessment had been performed. So there is a project document prepared by CCRVDF to try to tackle this issue, and we commend the committee for that, and we hope that this project document can go forward and that advice provided is taken up and processed through the Codex chain and by the Commission in a good manner. So this is just one example, and there may be other examples, but it also goes together with what has already been said here about the need for Codex to make good use of the scientific advice that is provided to the Codex. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack, for secretary. And can I invite for some more comments? I recognize the flag of the Coordinator for Near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. في البداية أضم صوتي لما أتقدم بمنظمة منظمة الممثل منظمة الزراعة والأغذية في ما ورد, وكذلك أؤيد ما ورد في الوثيقة والخلاصة التي توصلت إليها, وهو عدم استعمال المشورة العلمية في بعض الحالات, وذلك بالنظر لوجود بعض البلدان أو مجموعة من البلدان تعارض هذه اعتمادا على الأبحاث قامت بها بنفسها. وهنا أود كمنسق للجنة الشرق الأدنى أن أثير إلى أن البلدان النامية ليست لها الإمكانيات لإنجاز الأبحاث حول بعض المسائل, وبذلك تكون المشورة العلمية المنجزة من طرف المنظمتين المشكورتين هي المرجع الوحيد. وفي هذه الحالة تجد هذه البلدان نفسها أمام وضعية عدم امتلاك معناها أبحاث علمية لمواجهة بعض المواقف التي تبدي بها البلدان اعتمادا على نتائج علمية, وكذلك معناها ترك المشورة العلمية التي قامت بها المنظمتين على جانب. وهنا هناك عديد من الأمثلة لا فائدة في ذكرها. كذلك هناك نقطة أخرى هامة وهامة جدا, أن في بعض اللجان تكلف بعض البلدان أو مجموعة من البلدان لإنجاز بعض الأبحاث وتقييم مخاطر في مسائل معينة. وهنا طبعا لا يمنع هذا من إعانة بعض البلدان أو البلدان اللجنة في المشورة العلمية, لكن يجب أن تكون هذه النتائج غير منحازة. وفي بعض الحالات لاحظنا أن نتائج هذه الأبحاث تكون منحازة بالطبع, بما أن في البداية كانت المواقف متباينة حول المشورة العلمية التي قامت بها المنظمتين. لذلك معناها نود أن نوصي أن إعطاء المزيد من الوزن للمشورة العلمية التي تقوم بها المنظمتين, واعتبارها واعطائها الأولوية عند أخذ القرار. شكرا.
Thank you, coordinator for Near East. Coordinator for Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, scientific advice is very important in order to develop our standard. And I think when the CECFA or other organization do some scientific research, should consider the rational idea. For example, that for the limit or critical limit for the some substance is based on the daily intake. It's not based on the analytical method or the sophisticated equipment used in the test lab now, because developing country, I think, is very difficult to follow the modern testing analysis. So it is very important for us that you know to make a rational basis for the to the scientific advice, and again, I think it's important if we do some research on the daily intake, not based on the equipment used in the testing laboratory. Thank you.
Thank you, coordinator for Asia. I see no any other flag. Okay, sorry, Vice. Sorry, Vice Chairperson Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very interesting discussion. Not only does it touch upon a extremely fundamental issue facing Codex, which is the scientific foundations of the decisions we make, but also a sense that we're hearing that there is some problem with the degree to which that the scientific advice is being used and valued by the subsidiary bodies that ask for it. It is my sense that sort of the surface of the water, and underneath there are many currents crossing one another. And it would be very useful for us to understand what are those various currents. I believe that one of them that I have heard myself in my own committee is that, and this was already referenced, that there is concern among developing countries legitimately that scientific advice too often does not take into account data from their regions, that consumption patterns, there are no data on consumption patterns, which gives evidence about exposure. There may be no data on disease burden in those countries. This is an issue, clearly, it is not Codex's responsibility or ability to address, but the parent organizations. It is capacity building of the most fundamental sort, because building such capacity enables developing countries to contribute their own data to risk assessments, their own data to standards development. There may be other factors operating as well that are perhaps less honorable, and it would be useful to understand the degree to which those factors are operating. And I will give one example. Sometimes in Codex debates, we hear countries saying, we can't accept this conclusion or this recommendation because it does not match our national legislation. Well, frankly, if that's the basis on which we make decisions in Codex, we will never issue any standards, because we can't all have the same national legislation. That's not the point. I know from my own committee that this is the sort of reason oftentimes put forward for not accepting even scientific advice. Following on from the encouragement we've heard this morning from both our parent organizations, we need to be aware of these issues when they arise in committees and when they arise in the commission, and we need to speak out about them and manage them. There may be other factors as well that are maybe even dishonorable, and we need to be aware of those things, those issues too, and address them, not ignore them and allow them to persist. I will just stop there and just say that I think this is clearly a very important set of issues. There are many levels below what we have talked about today, and it's deserving of our attention. I mean, this is one of those issues that this committee, the executive committee, the management, the board of directors, essentially, for the commission, assisting the commission in its work, I would suggest really does need to take up in a thoughtful way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Karen. And WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that was very interesting input also from Vice Chair Karen Hulebak. I just want to add one thing, which can also be at least a perceived problem from the outside when codex committees or working groups are using the scientific advice. We have experienced sometimes that in some working groups we have a total overload of industry representation. And you could say that can be fine. It's good that some of the people who know about the issues are represented in the working groups. But I'm talking about perception here also. And perception is what the outside sees. And when it looks like it's the industry itself regulating itself, it really looks bad. I know that it's not like that, and in most cases, but we need to include that part of discussion, because that relates also to how you use the scientific advice in the right way, and it also relates to the perception on the outside. I'm not saying that perception is always true, but we have to be cognizant of that perception and make sure that we don't get this picture that some people are saying from the outside, but Codex is totally governed by industry. I don't believe that that's the case, but we have to make sure that perception is not remaining out there. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. And can I go to Argentina, please? I think the flag was up for FAO. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Ya que estábamos hablando de la utilización de asesoramiento científico, hay un tema relacionado con esto que ha surgido en algunos de los documentos del Comité de Medicamentos Veterinarios, que tiene que ver con la propiedad intelectual, y que en realidad no se relaciona en sí con la propiedad intelectual de los datos que nadie cuestiona, sino que aparentemente han tomado ciertos párrafos de informes de la FAO, de recomendaciones de la FAO, señalados en pie de página, pero no especificados de qué tipo de informes se trata. Ya nosotros los estuvimos buscando, donde se señala que los países no deberían hacer registros de sustancias tomando como base los resúmenes de las evaluaciones de riesgos de los grupos de expertos. Y en realidad nuestra preocupación gira en torno a lo siguiente, y es que, como ustedes saben, el acuerdo SPS no insta a los gobiernos, o al menos no obliga a los gobiernos, a hacer todas las evaluaciones de riesgo per se, sino que se pueden tomar en consideración las evaluaciones de riesgos hechas por
las organizaciones internacionales o hechas por otros gobiernos y que las tengan disponibles. Porque en definitiva de lo que estamos hablando es del resultado de la evaluación de riesgo, no de los datos a través de los que se generaron. Con lo cual lo que nos preocupa en lo particular es que se empiecen a reiterar estas menciones en las que sugieran que los países no deberían poder registrar productos teniendo en cuenta los resultados de estas evaluaciones de riesgo, porque como ustedes sabrán, en muchísimos países en desarrollo, las empresas no proveen los datos cuando quieren registrar, y no hay discusión. Y esto ocurre en muchísimos países, con lo cual, si las empresas no proveen los dossiers con los datos y no se puede tener en cuenta las evaluaciones de riesgo hechas por las organizaciones internacionales, hay determinado tipo de productos que jamás se podrían utilizar en ciertos países en desarrollo. Gracias.
Thank you, Gina. I think it's an opportune time for FAO to respond and also consider the issues raised by Argentina.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like also first to thank all the those that have intervened on this on this item. There are two major, points that we need to make. One is the underpinning of Codex. The scientific underpinning of Codex standards and guidelines and recommendations is something that we have to preserve as Codex system, but also I think it's very important for FAO and WHO as well. This is the it's one of the conditions that made Codex so highly respected up to now, and also as a reference for WTO. The absence of that underpinning is something that we should resist to and try to avoid, because it would it would not be something positive for the status of Codex standards, etc. Therefore, having said that, I think the scientific advice that's provided by different expert bodies is used, definitely that scientific underpinning is there. When, for any given reason, and we know that risk managers, of course, they take measures based on scientific advice, but also other considerations that we all know. When that scientific underpinning is not clearly there, it does bring a negative connotation, let's say, to the standard, and we don't want that. I think we have to continue to ensure that scientific underpinning of Codex standards and guidelines. And this has been so far preserved, but we have to continue to preserve it. And any attempt to not to use the scientific advice and to use other reasons take any other considerations outside the scientific advice is something to be avoided. The other point that was raised by some of the interveners was the how much of the scientific advice uses data and inputs from the developing world. This is a capacity building effort, that is capacity building matter that we in FAO and in WHO as well, I can speak for WHO as well on this, we have been trying to tackle in the best way possible. One is through the call for data and through the support that we provide in to some countries to generate some of these data, because sometimes it's not there, the data. so that this data can be used by the scientific bodies to produce their risk assessment. But also, it's not sufficient. I think we have also to see among the experts representatives from the developing part of the world, experts that are participating in this expert bodies, and we are also trying to do this as much as possible. Sometimes it's difficult to find expertise in certain developing countries, certain developing regions, even on certain aspects. But we are making a special effort to bring in the expertise that's available in the developing world, so that this aspect is tackled in a convincing manner. Having said that, Mr. Chairman, the question raised by the last question that was raised by Argentina is an issue that we have been trying to. The issue of the confidentiality of the documentation that is provided, that's available with the industry, particularly for veterinary drugs. And at one point, in fact, we have had some concerns whether the committee, the JECFA, would have any agenda we have any item on its agenda for veterinary drugs to review, etc., because of the non-willingness of the industry sometimes to provide the data to JECFA for evaluation. However, I can, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, my colleague from Joint Secretariat can give more indication on this. This has been lately the problem has been resolved, and we have seen some more readiness from the industry to provide data so that JECFA can evaluate the data and give its scientific assessment of the products that are proposed to it. We are talking always at the international level. At the national level, things vary very, very much from one country to another, and I don't think it's the place to discuss what is happening at the national level here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, FAO, and please, Secretary JECFA.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, on this last point, normally the standards to be developed in the Codex Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs are not marketing authorizations in single countries, but maximum residue limits to be used to ensure safe food in international trade. So it's true that we have this statement on our documents which are produced by the Secretariat after the committee has had its deliberations. These are the monographs of the toxicological monographs and the residue monographs, and these are most of the time based on confidential data that has been provided by industry. And so there is some right for this industry also to safeguard their data for use by other industries. That's why we have this statement. Of course, the result of the deliberations of the committee, the scientific advice, is normally used by CCRVDF to develop the standards on the maximum residue limits. And these are the ones which are finally adopted by Codex. The other point that I was making before was when there was no MRLs to be set because of other significant health concerns. Now, we have recently seen that the industry has turned around and is now supporting the process, for which we are very grateful, because we will have the opportunity next year to have a meeting in JECFA to assess a number of veterinary drugs which have been used in all parts of the world for quite some time. And so we are looking forward to that, in fact. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary Jekfa. And FAO, again, you want to give some more information? Quickly, please. And Vice Chairperson, if it's necessary, otherwise I'm tempted to close the discussion.
Lo siento mucho, señor presidente, pero quisiera aprovechar que en vista de esta discusión, someter a la consideración a través de usted al comité si fuera conveniente recomendar a la comisión que cuando los comités no basen sus recomendaciones en la asesoría científica proporcionada y hay una serie de otras razones, estas razones queden registradas, documentadas perfectamente en el informe. De tal manera que la transparencia del proceso esté asegurada, pero sobre todo también, señor presidente, porque los organismos de gobierno de la FAO y de la OMS nos están requiriendo ahora regularmente una evaluación del impacto que la asesoría científica está teniendo en las decisiones del Códex. Nosotros, para nuestros organismos de gobierno, ahora no es suficiente informar que hemos realizado 10 consultas de expertos. Nuestros gobiernos necesitan saber qué impacto ha tenido esta asesoría en las decisiones del Códex. Y por tanto, es importante tener esto registrado. Gracias, señor presidente, y perdón por tomar la palabra por tercera vez por la FAO.
Thank you very much for that constructive information and, in fact, intervention. Vice Chairperson Wim, Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, and to take one step further, the observation by the representative of the WHO that there sometimes are expressed concerns about conflict of interest or an overly large perception that there may be an overly large weight of one point of view, for example, industry, in working groups of subsidiary bodies, for example, possibly in expert consultations. I would just suggest or ask that this committee perhaps consider for the future, to put it in positive terms, that we may consider steps by which we ensure balance in working groups. We all are biased. Every one of us has a bias. We can't ensure lack of bias, but we can ensure that there is a balance of perceptions. Now, I recognize that this can be a very difficult issue for Codex to take up as a legal matter. It is, however, a very important issue, and I suggest it's worthy of our consideration going forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chairperson Karen. Vice Chairperson Wim, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, very briefly. The intervention made under this agenda item by Argentina, Mr. Chairman, reminded me of the discussion we had in the Commission this summer when we discussed the adoption of the strategic plan when Mexico and Argentina expressed concerns the way Codex established amyl sulfate residues. At that point in time, the representative of FAO informed the committee that later this year, FAO, jointly with the US government, would organize a meeting on minor uses. And that global minor use summit, Mr. Chairman, takes place this week elsewhere in this building. And yes, minor uses were not the issue raised by Argentina and Mexico, but I think that the underlying problems are quite similar. So through you, Mr. Chairman, I would ask FAO, when preparing this agenda item for the Commission meeting, also to insert a few paragraphs on the outcome of the Global Minor Use Summit, there will be an important link with Codex and JMPR, but also with a view how to build on from there with a view to mitigate the concerns expressed by Argentina and Mexico. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Pastor Nguyen. And I was looking at FAO. They are in agreement with that request. And ladies and gentlemen, two major points of concern. First of all is the way this request for scientific advice is raised and put to FAO and WHO. And then the other concern is the way the scientific advice coming from FAO and WHO as a result of the request not being used. So we have discussed this in the other Codex Fora, and I wish to invite the Secretary to try to shed some light on that. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We have heard a very rich debate along the theme of scientific advice, and even some subjects that were only remotely related to the main theme, but I'd like to comment on the main issue under this agenda item, which is how to ensure the good communication between the Codex bodies and FAO, WHO, that to provide scientific advice. And importance of this matter has been recognized in the Codex Strategic Plan 2008 and 2013, and Activity 2.3 directly speaks to this matter, which reads, enhance communication among relevant Codex subsidiary bodies and FAO WHO scientific expert bodies. What does this mean in practice? And I'm very pleased to note that several actions have already been taken to put some meat on the bone. First, the Executive Committee at its last session guided the all Codex members and committees to improve the quality of project documents. And one of the chapter or section that should be part of any project document is the identification of any requirement for and availability for expert scientific advice. And this provision should not be taken lightly. It is not sufficient to indicate that maybe scientific advice should be sought in the course of standard development. It should be stated in very concrete terms so that it would allow FAO and WHO to plan for the mechanisms or meetings by which to reply to such a request. Another means of enhancing communication between Codex bodies and FAO WHO expert bodies is the session report of Codex subsidiary bodies. Again, when the Codex bodies request scientific advice, it should clearly state in its report what scientific advice it sought and why and what for what purposes. And this practice should be followed very closely by all Codex subsidiary bodies. And probably it is a good idea for the Executive Committee to again send this message to all Codex bodies. Several Codex subsidiary bodies have established a special mechanisms through which to develop and identify priorities over several requests for scientific advice. Pesticide residue committees, veterinary drug residue committees, and food additives committees, among others, have already this system built in. And there is interaction taking place between member states and JECFA or JMPR secretaries. And more recently, Codex Committee on Food Hygiene has installed a system for prioritization. In this session of the committee, we have not seen the list of the all scientific advices provided and or requested from FA and WHO because it was presented to the 6 months ago to the committee. However, we also know that executive committee can sometimes be asked by FA and WHO to identify priorities among different requests for scientific advice coming from different codex subsidiary bodies. So there is again another mechanism at the level of executive committee. Mr. Chairman, we also have more, let's say, practical and lively mechanism to ensure the interaction between FAO-WHO and Codex. Whenever Codex committees meet, FAO and WHO send the officers, and namely JECPA secretaries, JEMA PR secretaries, and JEMRA secretaries to attend the session and interact directly with the members attending Codex session and including working groups on priorities. On the other way around, whenever FAO and WHO organize expert body meetings that directly speak to the request from Codex, FA and WHO usually and kindly invite the chairpersons of Codex, relevant Codex LC bodies, to make sure that the questions from those bodies are rightly and correctly interpreted by the FAO-WHO scientific bodies. So, Mr. Chairman, I think the Executive Committee should recognize that a number of actions have been taken to address this issue, but we need to enhance the operation of these tools available to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that very clear information. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we can comfortably summarize our discussion on this agenda item, first by welcoming this presentation or report from FAO and WHO, and also requiring, in fact, that all the tools available for first identifying and second for putting forward a request for scientific advice to both FAO and WHO should be used. And also once an advice, scientific advice has been provided, it must be made use of. For one thing, we realize scientific advice is key to the standardization process within Codex, and also it's also highly required by all the Codex members, but in particular also by the developing countries. So we really need to emphasize that we need to have clarity in raising a request for, in identifying a request for scientific advice, submitting a request of scientific advice to both FAO and WHO, and using or making use of the such advice provided by both FAO and WHO. And of course, we continue commending our partners' organizations for the continued support they give to the Codex process through the provision of scientific advice, and also commend the good work done by the scientific bodies of both FAO and WHO. That would be our summary, and I think it's time to get some more energy, have a healthy stretch, coffee break, 10 minutes please.